This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
We all ready to get into the Word today?
Yes.
Good deal, good deal. I want to start off just kind of with a question, especially for parents this morning. Have y'all ever maybe been in the car and things were a little chaotic? Maybe tempers are way up here, kids are fighting in the back seat. Maybe you and your spouse are having some what we like to call intense fellowship with each other. And maybe this is happening on the way to church. And then you get to church, and parents, y'all do this thing. Put a smile on your face as you're walking in. You see, I know that from experience because Ann Amoson used to say that. She'd give me that look like, and if you don't, you're going to die, right? Or let's talk about it at home. Maybe at home, things are just an absolute zoo. Kids are all over the place. Doors are getting slammed. It's just not looking good. Tempers. And you think to yourself, I am so glad nobody is around to witness this right now. Have y'all, you know, especially church friends, have y'all ever dealt with that yourself? Because we've had those thoughts before. If you can say yes to either one of those scenarios, I want you to pay attention today. We're in our series that we're calling First Things First, which is all about priorities. It's the beginning of the year, and we kind of want to look at our priorities and make sure that we've got them in the right order, because if they're not in the right order, then our life's not going to be in order, right? That's just the truth. The foundation of everything has to be putting God first. And today, what we're going to talk about, and this is a topic I love, we're going to talk about having a home and a family centered around the Lord. Having a home and a family centered around the Lord. Parents, the most important leadership role that we will ever have will not take place at our job,
right?
Nor will it take place in a church or any kind of ministry. It takes place in our home, right?
Yeah.
It takes place in our home. And unfortunately, in churches around the country, every Sunday, there's people, and they're there, and that's good, and they've got smiles on their face, and maybe they're worshiping, and things look good, they look healthy, but for a lot of folks, not everybody, of course, but for a lot of folks, their home's falling apart between Monday and Saturday because it's not built on the right foundation. So that's what we want to do, right? To have homes that are blessed, that are built on the right foundation. Today I want to start in the book of Joshua. We're going to look at a very powerful declaration that was made, probably one of the most in Scripture. And this is Joshua speaking. This is shortly before he dies. They're already in the promised land. And he says this in Joshua 24, starting in verse 14. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. Listen, he's telling the nation of Israel, they've already gotten to the promised land at this point. He's saying, right now, here, the family of Joshua, he's saying, we're going to serve the Lord. What Joshua didn't say was, "I'm going to serve the Lord, and I hope that they end up serving the Lord." He didn't say, "We're going to kind of serve the Lord just on Sundays." No, he said, "My home will serve the Lord." He was making that declaration, right?
Yes.
We will serve the Lord. Y'all, that is leadership.
Yes.
That's spiritual leadership right there. I don't know about you, but as a parent, my greatest desire right now, and it's going to continue this way, I'm sure, is for my children to know the Lord. Come on, somebody. For our children to know the Lord. The truth is this, is that as soon as our kids take their last breath, they're going to stand before the Lord. And we will not be there with them to step in and try to defend them.
Right.
You know, a lot of times parents try to defend their kids to teachers or to other people or make excuses. We're not going to be able to do that. They will stand before the Lord all by themselves. And I want to make sure that they are ready for that. The truth is that there's a lot of things that we can sometimes get hyper-focused on and that we put ahead of that. You know, whether it's their schooling, and don't get me wrong, I want my kids to be smart, right? I want them to get the goodest education they can get. And I want them to be educated. But I want them to be athletic as well, right? But sports are not our priority. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, a lot of people are worshiping on a field too much rather than worshiping in the house of God, okay? Just breaking news for you, there's a 99.99% chance your kid's going pro. That your kid's not going pro. I know some of you guys are like, cha-ching, you know. That's just another blessing of coming to church alive. Our kids are going pro. Sorry, that was wrong. Thank you for correcting me. Chances are our kids aren't going pro, right? And so many folks, and don't get me wrong, we got kids playing right now. Praise the Lord, basketball wraps up Tuesday for us, for both kids. But all that to say, some folks, that's their focus, but we need to be more concerned about the really important things, right? About them being prepared to stand before the Lord, about them making a difference on the earth while they're here, amen? And so all that to say, if you say, Pastor Gene, that's my desire too, just again, listen up today, and I want us to look at three truths about centering our homes around the Lord. And I'm going to start out with our first point, and we're going to talk to men. Men, I'm not getting on you, but this first point's all about you, so just hang on, and even if you're not a man, still just don't tune out. Number one, God has appointed the husband to be the spiritual leader of the home. Amen. That's what God's done. He's appointed the husband to be the spiritual leader. Not because, men, you're better than your wife, not because you're more spiritual than your wife or you're smarter than your wife. It's because God gave you that role. He didn't give it to your wife. He gave it to you, men, to you. And the truth is this, is that with that role comes responsibility. Ephesians 5:23 says, "For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church." Let's get real just for a minute. That is probably not a very popular verse with a lot of people, right? Based on how culture is, based on how some people believe. Some people don't like the words head of the wife there. This isn't about domination. You need to understand that. This is about responsibility. You see, it says Jesus, he's the head of the church. Jesus laid down his life for the church, y'all. He laid down his life for the church, and that's the kind of leadership that Paul was talking about whenever he wrote this here. It's a sacrificial leadership. It's a servant-hearted leadership. It's leading by example. That's what we're talking about here. Whenever Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," he was taking responsibility for the spiritual direction of his home. That's what he was doing, and that's what spiritual leadership looks like, men. It's what it looks like, but a lot of homes don't have spiritual leadership in it. A lot of Christian homes just don't. We have dads who aren't praying. We have dads who aren't leading spiritually. They're not engaged spiritually. And that's not the way it was ever meant to be, man. I just want you to know. A lot of times kids are growing up and they're seeing Christianity. They're seeing the spiritual stuff. They're seeing church as more of mom's thing. That's a problem. It was never meant to be her job to take care of that. It's your job. And men, if your home isn't spiritually stable, God's looking at you first. He's looking at you first. Let's talk about this just for a minute. Let's talk about the first couple ever on earth, Adam and Eve. As we know, Adam and Eve, they were told not to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? We know that the serpent spoke to Eve, that Eve partook of the fruit. But whenever the Lord entered the garden, after that took place, he said, "Adam, where are you?" He didn't say, "Eve, where are you?" He said, "Adam, where are you?" He said, because Adam wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was responsible in this case. Because he wasn't, again, leading as he should have. But let's talk about what spiritual leadership looks like. It's not that complicated, but we got to be intentional, guys. We've got to be intentional. It means that we're praying with and we're praying for our families. Not just before meals, and that's fine, but at other times as well. It means that we're praying for our wife, that we're praying for our children. I want you to understand, there is so much power in you blessing your children. Yes. So much power in you blessing your children. It's praying over your wife. It means that we're leading family devotions. And it doesn't mean that you have to have a church service at home. It means taking 5 to 10 minutes and just talking about the Lord. Come on, somebody. For instance, if you got small kids, tonight would be a good night to do this, to just ask them, say, hey, kids, what'd y'all learn in church today? Now, there's a really good chance that your kids are going to say exactly what mine did, and this is the same thing they tell me every afternoon whenever I pick them up from school. Kids, what'd y'all learn today? Nothing. Y'all been there before? They might say that, but if you kind of, you know, stick with it, they're going to finally start to say, okay, well, here's what we were talking about. And they may not have all the details right, but you can start from there and just kind of expound on it, right? Or if you got the Bible app on your phone, look at the verse of the day. Talk about the verse of the day for a few minutes. You don't have to be a pastor to lead this, guys. Come on. And then pray for your family. Speak blessings on them. We do that every night. We pray that our kids walk in health and healing. We pray that the Lord is grooming their spouse for them and protecting their spouse right now, right? Protecting their spouse. We're speaking that God's peace, God's protection is on them. We're speaking that they're going to be the head and not the tail. They're going to be above and not beneath, the first and not the last. They're going to be leaders and not followers in the name of Jesus. And we just start to impart these things over our kids, and it's really easy to do. And then at times, like last night, we let them do the praying because I want them to know how to pray. I'm not just going to tell them to pray. I'm going to let them practice in front of mom and dad as well. But these are things that we need to do whenever we're spiritually leading our family. We need to make sure that they understand Sunday is a day where we prioritize being in the presence of God, being in the house of God, right? There's 168 hours in a week, and sometimes we have a hard time prioritizing 90 minutes being in the house of God once a week. That's a problem. I mean, seriously, that is a problem, especially whenever we consider how much time we waste throughout the week. We've got to be an example. They need to see us worship, to give, to serve, to engage. Amen? Leading spiritually is also about making hard decisions. You know, decisions based on the Word of God and not culture. And these are sometimes some of the biggest blow-ups in the house. We've been experiencing them, and it's no fun. And there's times where the conversation ends like this: I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to trust me on this one. Because if you do what every other family's doing, then there's a really good chance your kid might not end up knowing the Lord. Amen. Or might not end up following the Lord down the road. And again, it might not be popular, but we know what's best for them. We're to be their parents, we're to be their dad, and not their friends. Amen? God's holding us accountable for how we lead our families, man. We need to understand that. Now, ladies, let me talk to you just for a minute. You have a role too, and it's a very, very powerful role. I love in Proverbs 31 just the verses that are dedicated talking about a woman who fears the Lord, about how her family blesses her, and about how she is such a blessing to her family. You know this, but I just want to just say it. You obviously have this massive role. You are so influential in your home. Oftentimes, you are the prayer warrior of your home. And I'm sure that throughout the week that you're just teaching the kids about the things of the Lord, because often you're with them so much more throughout the week than the husband is. Ladies, some of y'all, you've been leading your family spiritually because maybe you're a single mom. Or maybe your husband just has not stepped into that role as of yet. If that's the case, if your husband hasn't stepped into that role yet, I want to encourage you to be praying that he does. Come on, just ask the Holy Spirit. Say, go get him. Just turn the Holy Spirit loose on him just to go get him, right? Nagging him is not going to get him to do it. I just want to share that with you. Encouragement, sending the Holy Spirit after him, you're going to see more results. Amen? But pray that your husband's going to walk in that role. And if you've been having to carry all the spiritual weight, you know, of leading your family, ladies, I just want to say this. Thank you. And good job. Good job. You're making sure that it gets done. Amen? You're making sure that your kids know the Lord, and you're maybe doing the devotions, or you're praying for your kids, or you're bringing them to church. Good job. And men, if you're at that place to where you're not stepping into that role, it's time for you to do it. Okay, it's time for you to do it. Your wife needs you to lead in that area. You got to understand, she's tired of carrying it all by herself, but at the same time, God did not equip her to do it the way he equipped you to do it. You see, we read just a little while ago, you are supposed to be the head of the family. Not to subcontract it out to your wife. You're supposed to be the head of the family. Now, I'm going to go ahead and just get real with y'all. Have y'all ever, and probably most of us have experienced this, in your job, ever had someone who was hired to do something, X, Y, and Z, but they're not doing it all? And so as a result, you're having to do part of what they were hired to do. Come on, somebody show hands if y'all have ever experienced that before. Now, did that just burn your tail or what? Whenever that, because you're doing it and you're thinking, I'm not the one that's supposed to be doing this. Have you ever had those thoughts? This is their responsibility. That's how wives feel whenever their parents or whenever their husbands are not stepping into that spiritual role. You see, men, God put it on your job description, not hers. And so you're offloading this on her. She wasn't created to do this. You were created to do this, men. And I want to tell you, whenever you begin to do it, you're going to see God bless yourself, your life. You're also going to see him bless your home as well. Amen. So it's important that we do it. We got to lead spiritually and not just participate. And trust me, your wife truly longs for you to do this. She will be so in love with you doing this. She's not going to fight you about it. I promise you, are you ladies? You ain't going to fight them about it. As I said earlier, you might get a little more sugar for it too. You know, if you're stepping in that role that you're supposed to. All right, our second thing today is this, is that our homes should be a place of God's presence. Our homes should be a place of God's presence. Question, is God's presence obvious in your house? Is it obvious in your house? And I'm not talking about the fact that you got crosses on the wall. I'm not talking about the fact that you got a picture that says live, laugh, and love. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about whenever people walk into your house, do they think to themselves, man, this just feels peaceful. This feels good. Are y'all, is your house, does it obviously just show that God's presence is there? The Lord spoke this to Moses shortly before Moses died. And just so you know, this scripture came before what we read about Joshua. They had already been in the promised land whenever Joshua stated that, but Moses was not permitted to go into the promised land, so this is shortly before Moses dies. He says this in Deuteronomy 6:6. He says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them whenever you're at home and whenever you're on the road, when you are going to bed and whenever you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. What God's speaking to the nation of Israel through Moses is he's saying this. He says, I want my word to be in all areas of your life. Every area of your life. Not just, listen, talking about us, not just on Sunday mornings, in all areas of your life, in your homes, in your daily lives, in your conversations, all the time. You know, God shouldn't just be a Sunday-only conversation. Right. He shouldn't be. Our homes need to represent the Lord. And just a thought, in Matthew 21, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Listen, if we're leading our homes spiritually, our homes need to be homes of prayer as well, right? We talked about praying with our kids, but, you know, our kids need to see us praying. I'm talking about not just whenever we're praying with them, but just us praying on our own. If our kids get up early enough, they'll witness Regina and I both having our time with the Lord. They need to see us praying, men. Ladies, they need to see you praying as well. We need to ask ourselves, but talking about the atmosphere, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of atmosphere are we creating in our homes? What kind of things are we letting into our homes? What are we watching? There's a lot of trash out there. Can we all just agree? There's a lot of trash out there. It just seems like even just regular TV shows, just the need for them to say words that there's no reason for them saying. I don't understand it. There's a lot of music out there that's pretty trashy, right? What are we letting into our house? What are we letting our kids look at? We got to be very careful. Y'all know this, and I know I bring this up every now and then. But, you know, a lot of times our kids have devices. What are they looking at? And if you just say, I can trust my kids, that's funny. That's funny. A thought, if we're worshiping on Sunday with filth in our ears and we're watching filth the rest of the week, I want you to know something's wrong with that. And just a statement for you this morning, it's a little strong. It's this, is we can't invite God's presence in our home while we entertain demonic content. We want God's presence in our house, but whenever we're welcoming all this other stuff, come on, y'all. That doesn't work. We got to think about what conversations are we having at our dinner table. Are we building people up? Are we tearing them down? Are we talking about the things of the Lord? Are we gossiping? What are we doing? What's that family time whenever we're together? What does it look like? What are we saying? Joshua said, choose this day who you'll serve. And we need to choose this day what we're going to allow into our home. Amen. We need to choose this day what we're going to throw out of our home as well. I heard a story years ago by a pastor who I just adore. And he was talking about there was a lady who always had her windows up in her house. She just always had them up. That's what she preferred. And the problem with having her windows up was that she had to walk around with a fly swatter all day. And she was constantly just swatting flies. And, you know, it aggravated her that she was having to do that. And finally, somebody told her, said, well, you know, if you would just simply put screens over your windows, you could keep the flies out. And I think a lot of us, we've let too much in our house. And the truth is that we need to screen. We need to filter a lot of things. What are the things that we need to remove from our home because it's affecting the atmosphere? Whenever the atmosphere of our home needs to be peaceful. That's the truth. And I know, I gave that example earlier about how things can get a little wild at home. And I know that with kids, it can, right? I mean, there's times whenever my voice gets raised at home and it's like, okay, I got to dial it back. But our homes truly, truly need to be peaceful homes because the presence of the Lord is there. Amen? Again, a place of God's presence. Number three, the goal, though, is generational impact. And y'all, it starts at home. It starts at home. We're not just trying to survive while the kids are at home. Actually, I mean, I am just trying to survive while my kids are at home. Y'all feel that way? Okay, but that really shouldn't be how it is. It shouldn't just be about survival, right? What it's all about is us trying to impact generations, right? We want to impact generations, and that impact, y'all, doesn't start here. It starts at home. It starts at home, not at church. And we're not just raising squirts, y'all. We're raising squirts that are going to grow up to be big kids, right? And by the way, let me just share this with somebody. You pray for your kids whenever they're small, and you pray for their kids whenever they're big. Little kids make little decisions. Big kids make big decisions, and we need to be praying for them. But we're not just raising little ones. We're raising little ones that are going to grow up, that are going to have children, that are going to have children. We want to affect the future generations, do we not? And the truth is this, is that someday our kids are going to leave the house. And whenever they leave the house, are they going to know the Lord? Are they going to know how to pray? Are they going to be kids that say, you know what, reading my Bible every day is just part of life. Going to church on Sundays and giving God that dedicated time is just part of life. Are they going to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit talk to them? Is that something that they're going to learn because of your spiritual leadership? Or are they going to leave and you just hope that they know the Lord? Let me tell you, we can help shape how they depart from our home. But we've got to lead spiritually. We've got to lead spiritually. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. We need to talk about this just for a minute. As parents, we can try to do everything right. And there's going to be times where we just miss the mark. Can somebody just get real? We miss the mark at times, right? But according to this verse right here, if we train them, if we teach them, if we model it to them, whenever they're old, they'll come back to it. Amen. Come on, they'll come back to it. I just want to encourage you, if you've got a child that's just kind of walked away from the Lord, you hold on to this verse right here. Let this be one of those verses that you're just praying every night. And Father, I just want to remind you of your word that my kids, they're going to come back to it because, Lord, we have imparted this into their life. Amen. We've got to remember also, y'all, that our kids are watching us. So it's making, listen, that whole generational thing, they're watching us and they're going to model what we do. So we've got to make sure that we're doing the right things, right? I mean, if we're fake at home, but we're holy at church, they pick up on that. They pick up on that. Our private walk with the Lord, y'all, it shapes their future walk with the Lord. We've got to be very careful how we are acting around our children. Amen? We've got to. Generational impact, it's intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. Whenever you go to the book of Psalms, you'll see that there's multiple authors that wrote Psalms. Moses wrote some of it. King David wrote a lot of it. But there's a guy by the name of Asaph, A-S-A-P-H, that wrote a lot of chapters in Psalms. In fact, I was reading some of what he wrote this morning. Asaph, in case you don't know, was actually a song leader for King David, right? So that's who that guy was. But he wrote this in Psalm 78, verse 4. He said, "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God." Notice where it says, so the next generation would know, and in turn they would tell their children. Y'all, that is generational impact right there. Amen? It's not just about your kids. Y'all, it's about your grandkids. It's about your great-grandkids that you may or may not ever get to meet, but it's not just about your kids. It's about the generations that are to follow. You know, there's some statistics that are out there that are a little concerning. One says that more than half of kids that were raised in church, whenever they go off to college, that they'll, for the most part, just kind of walk away from the faith. They'll just walk away from the church. Why is that? I think there's a couple of reasons, but the main one being that they never saw it lived out authentically at home. That they never saw it lived out authentically at home. They just saw the whole things of God just as we go to church on Sunday, but then that's just it. You know, for them it's going to be very easy just to kind of not go, right, whenever they're off on their own. If faith's real at home, your kids will hold on to it. If it's just a Sunday show, they'll probably abandon it. But I want you to remember today, parents, dads especially, we cannot outsource discipleship. We can't do it. Once again, we don't expect the schools to raise our kids. We can't expect the church to do everything for them spiritually either. We got a great kids ministry. We got a great youth ministry. But those are helpers. Those are not replacements. Do you hear me today? They're not replacements. Now, as we're talking about this, and we're talking about having a godly home, a home centered around the Lord, some of you men may be thinking to yourself, I don't even know what that looks like because that wasn't my story. I want you to understand, let's go back to last week where we started with this series. Men, if you'll put God first in your life, hear me, and then if you'll put God first in your home, that whole thing of my family never knew the Lord, it's going to stop with your generation. That curse will be broken. And then as soon as you begin to do that, what you're going to find is that you're going to begin to leave a legacy of faith. So what you've experienced, it'll stop with you. And I want you to know, you need to get excited about that. You can say, you know what? The fact that my family didn't know the Lord, look, all that stops with me. Right? And from here on out, we're proclaiming that our family is blessed, that our family knows the Lord, just like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Put him first in your life. Put him first in your home. And you can turn that around. What you experience doesn't have to be the future for your kids. It doesn't have to be the future for your kids. And talking about legacy, what legacy are you leaving? At your funeral, what are your kids going to say about you? Or after you pass away, whenever they're describing you to other people, Is it going to be, well, Dad was really successful in business, or Dad was really good at this, or was a heck of a hunter, mess like that? Or is it going to be the important stuff? You know what? Dad made sure we knew the Lord. Dad made sure we knew the Lord, because let's go back to where we started. Our desire is that our kids know the Lord. That they can stand before God and hear the words, "Well done." Not "depart from me." I don't know about you, but the thought of hearing, of either of my kids hearing those words, makes me a little sick on my stomach right now. I got to be honest with you. What are they going to say, dads? Are they going to say, "You know what? He made sure that we knew the Lord." And in addition to that, let's just think about how many lives you're going to change because of your parents' decision. My grandmother, Jane McGee, who was part of this church for years, died 6, 7, 8 years ago. Here on the stage, we did her funeral, and a lot of the grandkids spoke at her funeral. My grandparents had 5 children. My mom was the second of the 5. And all the kids are serving God. Within those children of those 5, you've got elders, you've got deacons of churches, you had my mom, a pastor's wife. They're all serving the Lord. All the grandkids, somebody say all of her grandkids are serving God. Within that group, and there's a fair amount of us, we got a youth leader in there, we've got a church minister in there, we've got a senior pastor in there, we've got a worship leader in there, we've got elders in there. And it's because my grandparents said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What a blessing. What a blessing. That can be your family as well. It can be your family as well. And you may say, "Man, you don't know where I came from." It can be your family as well. Amen. Your goal, listen to me, isn't just to get your kids saved. It's to raise them to have a generational impact so that they can advance the kingdom of God. And parents, dads, it starts with you. If you'll step up, I want you to know this. If you'll lead spiritually, God will bless your home. Amen? Amen. Today, I believe some of you may need to make a little bit of a decision today. You may have multiple decisions that you need to make. I just want to be real honest with you. Maybe some of you, you're at a place where you've been letting what the Word calls the cares of this world get in front of the more important things. So it's all been about school, it's all been about sports, it's all been about pageants, it's all been about whatever. Listen to me. The number one thing is them knowing the Lord. We need to prioritize that. We put so much effort into these other things, so much time into these other things. How much effort and time are you putting into them knowing the Lord? You need to have that conversation, parents, today. Maybe there are some things that you just need to screen, if you will. You need to filter out of your home. Maybe there's some subscriptions, because we pay subscriptions for all the trash that we let in our house. Maybe some of those need to go away. Save yourself $20, $30 a month. Amen. Maybe some of those need to go away. Maybe your home's kind of been in a little bit of a crisis, maybe with chaos or arguing, no peace. Maybe the marriage is struggling. Maybe the kids don't even act like they know who the Lord is. I want you to know, if you'll start leading, if you'll put the Lord in the center of your home, He's going to bless your house, and He can begin to turn things around. Amen. Whenever you go all in for Him, and you'll be building on the right foundation. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness in our lives. Lord, we thank You for Your blessings. God, we thank You for Your gift of salvation. And Lord, today we, as a church, individually, God, every family, we just want to commit our homes to You. If your spouse is next to you, just grab their hand today. Lord, today we just want to commit our homes to You, Lord. Lord, a lot of us haven't always led the best. Lord, we've not done the best job. But Father, we thank You for Your grace. And Lord, we just declare that we're going to begin to do it the right way. Father, I just speak over every man in this place today, Lord, that they're going to step up and lead their family spiritually. God, it's the way You wired them to do it. Lord, it was them that You intended to do it. And so, Father, we speak that they're going to step into that role, Father, beginning today in Jesus' name. And God, we break any generational curse that's been passed down, Lord. Lord, homes that don't know you, Lord, homes that have maybe been full of divorce, Lord, homes that have been, Lord, dealt with any kind of addiction or whatever it is. God, we break that right now, and we say that it stops. It stops this generation in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, we want to go back to your word, Lord, about those children that have maybe walked away. If you're here today and you've got a child that's not living for the Lord, I want you to just quickly, come on, just lift your hand up right now. Come on, right now. There you go. Come on, just call their name out right now. Father, you see the hands, Lord. You hear the names. And Lord, right now, we're asking the Holy Spirit to go after them and to bring them back. Father, we stand on that word that they will come back to it in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we celebrate, Lord, the fact that they are coming back in the mighty name of Jesus. God, help us to create homes, Lord, where you are honored. God, where you are first in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we all just declare today, come on, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Men, I want to encourage you, if you've not been walking in that role, again, it's the role that God wired you for. It's on your job description, not your wife's. You need to have a talk with your wife tonight. Y'all need to get away from the kids and have that talk. And you may say, it's going to be awkward, Pastor Gene. We do other things that are awkward, okay? Have that talk with your wife. And begin to step into that. You may say, I'm just going to blow it. I'm not going to do a good job. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Your wife's going to support you. She knows you're the right one for the job. She's going to be there to help you. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. Parents, maybe again, you need to have a talk about some things that you can change so that the atmosphere of your home improves. Amen. And y'all make sure that you're praying with your kids. Today's the best day to start. Amen. Today's the best day to start. It's going to make a huge impact. If you agree, can somebody say amen today? Come on, give God some praise.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.